Here at the International Biomass Conference and Expo, I'm speaking with Joe Jobe, who is the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board. And Joe, we talked about here, you were on a panel, and one of the first things you were asked is, what is your priority for the biodiesel industry this year?
Well, as most people know, we've had a rough couple of 2 years. Last year, the tax credit lapsed for 11 months, and that had a significant negative impact on the industry. The tax credit has been reestablished. In addition to that, the RFS2 is moving forward in its first full year of implementation. So the program's moving forward. The volumes are being generated. The volumes are going to be enforced. So our plants are coming back online, and we're very bullish. We believe that we're going to have the best year in our industry's history this year so far. And one of our top priority is successful implementation of the RFS2, and a major component of that is seeing that tax credit extended at least another year and beyond. And so that's what we're working toward.
Well, it was impressive to see the heads of all these different organizations who are involved in biomass and energy and biofuels. How do you think why do you think it's so important for all of these groups who are going to really target different markets to work together?
Well, this is a very broad group for this industry association and this industry group. The biodiesel industry is a very diverse group, but this is even more diverse because you've got renewable electricity markets, you've got light duty, heavy duty, different feedstocks represented. So, it's good to see what everybody else is up to and see what their priorities are, figure out, are there ways to work together, are there ways to work in parallel to what others are doing. And so that's really what this is about.
NBB is sponsoring a webinar on food, fuel, and land use. Could talk about that a little bit and why this is increasingly important for biomass and biofuels in general.
Well, land use and indirect impacts have been a significant focus by policymakers in Washington, in California, where they're doing low carbon fuel standard. I'm headed to Sacramento to talk with CARB and others about the low carbon fuel standards. And really what is going on is that land use and indirect impacts have really only been applied to biofuels and not even and no other fuel, not even the fuel that it's being compared to, so the baseline petroleum fuel. So just as an example, we all know that petroleum has negative indirect impacts, but because they're very hard to quantify, then policymakers have said, well, we're going to assume there's zero. So the absurdity of that is that the fact that oil was spewing into the Gulf of Mexico for 3 months last year and the ocean was on fire, it is assumed that that did nothing to increase the carbon intensity of petroleum. And so that's clearly not the case. Much of the methodology that's being used is just incorrect. The science is has not been developed, and so we're working to improve the science. We're working to improve the methodology. When you start out by violating the most fundamental principle of the scientific method of comparing apples to oranges, there's a problem. And so we've done a lot of work, a lot of research on land use, looking at impacts. By and large, our land use impacts are fairly favorable globally and long term. And so we did a very substantial session at our conference in Phoenix, bringing in some of the most knowledgeable experts on food, on ag commodities, and so forth. And it was very exciting to hear what they had to say, that biodiesel has positive impacts on food and fuel, global food supplies and global fuel supplies. And we need to get that message out there.
Well, this runs right into one of the things that you said on the panel, was that we have self-proclaimed agricultural experts who are out there trying to tell the real agricultural experts how to do their jobs. And this is impacting both food and fuel production.
Yeah, and these self-proclaimed agricultural experts who haven't set foot on an American farm really are going after U.S. production agriculture as a surrogate for other things that they can't impact, like tropical deforestation and global food supplies and all kinds of other policy in developing countries. And so they go after policy that impacts U.S. production agriculture. U.S. production agriculture is not the problem, it's the solution, because we have the best agricultural system in the world. It is modern precision agriculture. It has some of the lowest, it has the lowest ratio of carbon intensity over time than any industrial sector. Our farmers embrace technology. And so this notion that any policy that that might have the impact of increasing agricultural prices is a bad thing for the global food supply, that's exactly backwards, because it's not U.S. production agriculture that's the problem. It's sustenance agriculture in developing countries that use unsustainable practices to do sustenance farming. And so if farming becomes more profitable in the local communities in other parts of the country, then those farmers have the resources to invest in modern agriculture. And that's the solution. That's what we need to do, is we need to support that. And so biodiesel is a big part of that.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe Jobe, here at the International Biomass Conference and Expo. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.